Welcome to the Automators. I'm David Sparks and joined by my co-host, Rosemary Orchard. This is where we talk about how to automate your technology to do your work for you. Hello, Rose.
Hey, David. How are you?
I'm doing great. We got a lot of window management action lately, which is very much an automator-friendly topic. So today we thought we'd dig in on some of that. We're going to talk about that in the bonus section for the Automators Max members. We're dealing with keyboard woes, and that's all I'm going to say, but we're going to talk about that.
Well, and, I'm going to give people a little hook. There's a 3D printer involved, so
really? You
know, it's going to get crazy.
Okay.
But probably not too crazy.
Okay. Well, either way, I think let's start with window management because there is a lot to talk about. We got new tools in Sequoia. There's things going on, but I think for automators, you know, alpha power users that are listening to the show, probably the most relevant news concerning window management is the Moom update.
Yeah, Moom has gone from version 3 to version 4. And it's one of those things where I didn't think there was a lot they could do to make it better, you know, because it just worked. And then they updated it. And it turns out they have made it better. And not only have they made it better, I'm using the new features as well. And that is something I am very appreciative of because, I mean, I was there going, yeah, could you maybe add some like shortcuts actions, URL schemes, something like that, so I don't have to go through AppleScript? I've got a whole bunch of new stuff that I can do with Moom, David. I'm really happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, window management kind of ties into what we talked about a few episodes ago about setups, you know, setting your computer up to do stuff. Window management is usually the last piece of that puzzle because like once you get the apps you want open and everything just the way you want it, then you want the windows to arrange themselves for you so you don't have to manually do that as well. And we're going to talk in a little bit about why we use Moom, but there's a lot of apps for this. But Moom is the app that both Rose and I happen to use, which is kind of funny too because, right, there's so many. It's kind of interesting that both of us use the same one. But there's reasons.
Yeah, I mean, we both have a tendency to gravitate to whatever we feel is best in class. And in this case, that is Moom. And I am really happy that, you know, it has updated because, you know, so for folks who don't know, Moom, basically, it lets you save window setups or window layouts. So you can just say, hey, you know, like generically, I would like to put this on the left third of my screen. Or I would like to save, you know, I've got BB Edit, I've got Zoom, I've got a Safari window, I've got Audio Hijack, and I've got Keyboard Maestro open at the moment for recording automators. I'd like to save that as a set for recording automators. And then I can save that and I can click on it and click automators and ta-da, my windows get arranged for recording automators. But it has got even better this time, which is very exciting. And I'm going to add some links into the show notes from their blog about changes that they've made, like their blog post for about the release and then 4.1 and some other little sort of handy bits that they've spoken about online, just so that folks can read about the things that they've added. And also there's some videos too, so that everybody can enjoy what's there. But we're also going to talk about it.
Yeah. And I would say, so Moom is published by Minitrix. They're a great little utility maker for the Mac. If you haven't checked them out, go to minitrix.com. All of their apps I could recommend. They're all good. But Moom, to me, is the star of the show. And it is a window manager plus. You know, it does so much more. And one of the new features that I want to immediately jump in on is what they call the pop-up palette. So what Moom has historically given you the ability to use the green traffic light to do different things. Like one of the original tricks you could do with it is if you click on the green traffic light, it gives you like an overlaid grid on the screen that you can just drag to a preset resolution, and then the window automatically fits itself to that. So getting windows to fit close to each other in rough sizes was very easy. But they've also had historically the ability to save a setup of specific app windows in a specific order. Like right now, like Rose, we're recording the show. I've got recording tools on the left third. I've got resource and research on the right third, but they're laid out in a very specific way where I can jump between overlapping windows without ever having to really work hard. And I do this for every podcast. It's and it's always the same apps, you know, Notion, Safari, you know, the recording tools, etc. So I can save a pop-up palette button with that setup. So anytime I'm about to record a podcast, I do that. And so I hit the green traffic light button using the new version 4, and it has a whole bunch of these represented graphically, and I can just pick the one for podcast recording, and it does it for me. Mm-hmm. I've done other things like this in the past. This is by far the fastest and easiest way to do this.
Yes. And that's what I really love about this, because, you know, I have, you know, I feel like window management is something that some people don't really understand. So I have, you know, looked at how, for example, my dad works. And when he's on his Mac, he has Adobe Bridge open and he has Photoshop open. You know, this is generally when he's doing something like photo editing, and he will edit a photo in Photoshop, close it, go to, and it then Bridge is revealed. And then he opens the next picture, and then he goes, he edits it, hits save, closes, repeat. And so for him, he wants one thing in front of him. He doesn't want to see anything else. And my mom, when she's working, she might have two things open at the same time, but, you know, just splitting it left and right basically is all she needs. And that's easy enough to do with, you know, native window management things, which we'll come back to. But for other people where you need multiple things open at the same time, so as a developer in my day job, I need the program that I'm writing the code in. I need my terminal so I can see whether or not my code is compiling, and I can see the error log and things like that. And that could be multiple windows, or that could be one window with multiple panes, which is what I do with iTerm. But previously, I have used multiple windows. I need my browser so I can actually go and test the code that I've been doing. And then I also need, you know, things like Slack and so on open, so that I can see those without having to, you know, shuffle stuff around too much. And that is where window management really comes into play, because I want my things in a specific place. It's muscle memory. If, you know, I look over here and I'm expecting to see the terminal to my far left. And if the terminal isn't there, if the code is there, I'm going to be really confused. So I have it set up so that it's always in the same place. And I don't, you know, manually drag these things around. I use Moom to get things into the right place. And that is, you know, what for me is really great. And what I am really loving with the upgrade as well, David, is, you know, previously, if I was, you know, resizing a window, or if I saved a preset for a window resize, it would be for like a specific monitor, and I have an ultra wide monitor, but my studio display that I also have attached to my Mac Studio is still big enough to do thirds. You know, it's now for me at least just a bit easier to, you know, have these things set up so that I can actually, you know, use them across multiple displays and things like that, which is really cool.
Yeah. And just sticking with this pop-up, there's so much more you can do with it. It almost feels like to me like installing a Stream Deck on the little green button for your window, the green window button. Because mm-hmm. when you open it up, it's got up to 61 different presets you can put in there. And they can, it isn't just setting up windows in a predefined arrangement. It could just say, you know, move and resize or drop in the left side. I've got one that just centers the current window because I do a lot of screencasting. So before I hit the record button, I always like to make sure the window is centered on the screen. It makes post-production a lot easier. And that's just a little tool I added. And now I just hit the green button and press the button, and the window gets automatically centered on the screen. You can also have it like adjust, like grow towards the right, grow towards the left, shrink towards the right. So all sorts of cool window tricks. I'm not sure like how practical it is to like resize the window using like one button click at a time. But if you want very granular control, and I'm sure there are people listening that have a reason for that, they've got a button for that. And I just really am impressed by this interface. Never saw it coming. Never thought, oh yeah, this is what I would like. But once they gave it to me, I was immediately on board. And currently I have about 20 buttons of my 60. But I'm sure I'll be adding more.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just really enjoying the fact that, you know, I can hover over that plus button, and I have, you know, whatever it is that I've chosen in there. So I do have, you know, some of the defaults still, like the left half, right half. I don't ever use top half and bottom half. So I've changed those to top right quarter, bottom right quarter, because I have a tendency to put things on the right, I guess because I'm right-handed, so that's where a lot of things go. And then, you know, doing a couple of, you know, different layouts for just resizing things. And I've got my thirds in there and so on because I've got my nice ultra-wide displays. It's just been really nice, you know, the upgrade as well. I'm going to give ManyTrix full props for this. The upgrade, it just worked. Okay, I installed Moom 4 and I uninstalled Moom 3 and ta-da, that was it, done. And, you know, everything that I had was already there. And now I've gone through and I've ended up just sort of tidying some things up because, yeah, I realized that, you know, it would actually be nice if I potentially actually used names for things a little better and so on. And so now I've done that and I'm just finding it, you know, really handy to have, you know, all of the new features that they have right here.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you say that because I never used top and bottom either. It can make sense, I guess, if you're doing something. But I think with the
vertical monitors, people that have vertical monitors are more likely to use that. And when I've experimented with vertical monitors, I have used that and I have really enjoyed it. But I tend not to use my monitors vertically. It's one of those things where I wonder if Moom could figure out a way to hook into the OS. So like I could say like, hey, if this monitor is portrait, then like, you know, if the pixels on this monitor, like in width, are less than they are tall, then change it from left and right to top and bottom or something like that. But I don't know. I might email ManyTrix and give them a feature request. But that is my idea, folks. That is not something that is supported within the app. So if you're good looking for it and it's not there, then that's my fault, not theirs.
Yeah. Some of the other new features are better layout support. And by layouts, I mean, you say that like Safari is going to take this much space on the screen and OmniFocus this much space, and it's always going to be here. And you can save it specific to apps, or you can save what they call, I think they call it like a any window layout or a generic layout. So you can just say, no, I always want the right side of the screen to be one app and then the top and bottom quarters to be two other apps. And then you just drag your apps into the space and it automatically resets the window size to match your saved layout. So if you have specific layouts you want, you can do that. I'm very kind of anal about this stuff because I like the little gutter. I like to know my eyes are kind of trained where to look when I'm doing different kinds of work. And these layout tools are a definite improvement.
Yes. Yeah. I really like it. And I also, one of the other reasons why I've linked the blog post, folks, is they have little videos in there which explain how, you know, some of these features work. So that can be quite useful to see. And there's also a full release notes page, which, tell you what, folks, because they've done such a great job, I will link that too. It's not bug fixes and improvements. It is very much a, hey, there's drop zones, there's hover mode, there's navigate and activate your custom actions via keyboard, etc. And they've actually detailed all of it, which is really lovely. There's all sorts of really cool things in there.
And Rose mentioned drop zones. They kind of work with the layouts. You can drop an app into a layout zone or a zone, and then it, once again, automatically comports the app to the drop zone. I feel like those are kind of related. Another feature they've added, which they've always kind of had this, but I think they improved it a bit, is the snapping, where you can pull a window to the top corner or to the side and it'll snap to your predefined setup for that. So like if you just like the quarters, like I often use the, you know, the quarters, like top left, bottom right. You can set those if you just pull the window into the corner, it automatically fits it to that. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of apps have that feature, but you know, Moom is going to cover them all.
Yes. And you know, the layouts automatically adapting to display configuration changes by default now, that's really nice because, you know, every so often I will not necessarily be using the same monitor setup that I always have. Sometimes, you know, I end up recording or doing things on my laptop with one portable monitor, my laptop with two portable monitors, my laptop with one, 24-inch monitor, my laptop with a 27-inch monitor, my laptop with my 32-inch ultra-wide monitor. all sorts of things. You know, this is perhaps less of a problem for some people because they just use their you know, machine at home with the same setup every single time. But the layouts now automatically adapt to display configuration changes. And I really appreciate that. And it's just one of those things that it makes my life a lot easier, and I'm sure it will do the same for some other people as well. Maybe not for everybody, but for those of us who have this, you know, this issue, it's appreciated. And also, you know, that one day that you do decide, actually, you know what, I'm going to try flipping my desk configuration, and I'm going to, you know, move my monitors around, or I'm going to put one monitor in portrait, then, you know, the fact that it can automatically adapt things without you having to rearrange everything and reconfigure all of your saved setups in Moom is very, very nice.
Another thing that's new is they have chaining, so you can chain multiple actions together. Like if you've got two monitors, you say, okay, move this to the right monitor and center it. You know, move this to the left monitor, put it on the right side of the screen, or top right corner, or whatever. And they just work as one command when you trigger them. So multi-monitor people are going to love that.
Yes. One of the things that is worth noting in their blog post, so they have a blog post, Access Moom's Custom Actions via Pop-Up Menus. They have tied in with Keyboard Maestro. They've made a Keyboard Maestro macro, and they've also made a shortcut. Both of these are relying on AppleScript to do the magic, but they actually have a shortcut and a Keyboard Maestro macro that you can download from their website, from them showing how you can use this stuff, which is pretty nice.
I'm curious about that, though. I mean, why would you do that, like set it up as a implementation of an Apple script? Why not just build in support for shortcuts to do the action?
I mean, because this way they, I guess it was already working. I don't know. And if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I have to say, I do know some developers, understandably, are quite wary about adding support for shortcuts to things, especially on macOS, because it has been a little flaky and at times. And also, there have been things, and I saw this recently, Working Copy posted about it on Mastodon, where if you're using old versions of shortcut support, things don't necessarily work the way they're supposed to. In Working Copy's case, it was deleting files. And that's not what that shortcut action was supposed to do. It was supposed to return a list of files, but it was deleting them. And it's like, oh, that's not what that's supposed to be doing. That's not good. And yikes. It's not App Intents, which is the newest version of shortcut support. This is an older version. But fortunately, Anders found out about this, I think just before the iOS 18 release, and was able to, you know, ship a version with the shortcuts actions that basically neutered the shortcuts actions so that they couldn't really do anything. But it did mean that also people didn't start losing a whole bunch of files, because that would be the direct consequence of that. So I do understand why some developers are a little reluctant when things like that sneak in. You know, it's one of those things as well where if people don't report the bugs, because they don't know about the bugs necessarily, or they don't see the bugs, then things aren't going to get fixed. So as always, folks, file feedback. You can open Feedback Assistant on your iPhone, an iPad, and Mac, even if you don't actually run a beta. Like, Feedback Assistant is still there. You can use the URL scheme. But yeah, if you find something that's broken, please file feedback.
Yeah, and we, you know, I appreciate that they have AppleScript support. We've talked about it on the show previously, that on the setup show, we specifically mentioned that one of the ways to pull it off with shortcuts is just to run the Moom shortcut to trigger a specific layout. And that's still there, and it's even better. But I would honestly prefer that they figure out a specific shortcut action. Another thing about the new version, and this has always been true about Moom, but even more so now, is keyboard support. You can rename any action. You can assign custom keyboard shortcuts to anything. And you can make them really obscure keyboard shortcuts and then trigger those via automation easy enough, and do window setups that way too. So I, you know, just congratulations to Moom, an app that I thought was kind of feature complete, and they proved me wrong. They added so many new features to this thing, many of which I'm using. Well, what's your favorite, Rose?
I mean, it's one of those things. I don't think I have a favorite, because, you know, that's like asking you to choose between your two children. And maybe you do have a favorite, but you're never actually going to admit it, are you? honestly, I think my favorite thing about Moom is just the way that it kind of disappears. I don't really realize that I'm using it until I'm on a Mac where it's not installed and then it's just broken. because, you know, I'm just there and, you know, I have my setup and it you know, I run, for example, Bunch to open the apps that I need. And then it wastes 10 seconds and that runs my Moom script. And then ta-da, everything's in the right place. And when I start my day at work, it just runs Moom for me and everything is better. And it's one of those things where I don't have a single favorite feature, but I don't know, maybe my favorite new feature is that custom palette that appears when you hover over the magnifying button. I think that's probably it.
The pop-up palette, to me, that is definitely my favorite new feature. Because it's funny, because I was deep in the Sequoia beta, and we're going to talk in a minute about Sequoia window management, which is very good. And I was thinking, well, maybe I don't need Moom. Maybe I could get by with this. And then I saw the features in the new update. I'm like, oh no, they got me. They still got me. And for some other reasons, we'll explain when we talk about the Sequoia window management. I feel like there's just a few things they didn't do that I wish they did, but Moom, excellent. It was a $6 upgrade from the prior version, $10 to buy it new. Mm. I don't know if that was a launch discount or not, but you can get it in the App Store. I
think there was a small launch discount, but yeah. It's still, yeah.
I mean, 10 still bucks. Very affordable. 10 bucks for easy window management. You earn that back in a day. It's just so useful. And Rose and I both use this one because I think it's the best, you know, and it's got all the features that I want, the Apple script, the pop-up palette, the easy organization. My windows are very happy that I have Moom on my device. This episode of The Automators is brought to you by Notion. Go to notion.com/automators to try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. There's so much to love about Notion. Notion is the backbone of the Mac Sparky empire. I run all our collaborative projects through Notion. I looked at a bunch of different options, and Notion was the one that stuck because it's easy to use, it's powerful, and it gives me exactly what I need, exactly when I need it. Every morning, I look at my Notion dashboard, and it tells me which projects are on tap, which ones need additional pickup work from the people I'm working with, and what I'm planning on doing in the next few days. It's just a great location for project management. The new Notion AI is a single AI tool that does it all. You can search across Notion and other apps, generate docs in your own style, analyze PDFs and images, and chat with you about anything. Notion is a perfect place to organize your tasks, track your habits, write beautiful docs, and collaborate with your team. And the more content you add to Notion, the more Notion AI can personalize its responses for you. Because unlike generic chatbots, Notion AI already has the context of your work. Notion AI is connected to multiple knowledge sources. It uses AI knowledge from GPT-4 and Claude to chat with you about any topic. It can search across thousands of Notion docs in seconds to quickly answer any question. And with AI connections, now in beta, Notion AI can also search across Slack discussions, Google Docs, Sheets and Slides, and more tools like GitHub and Jira are coming soon. Notion is used by over half of the Fortune 500 companies, so you'll be in great company. I love this AI feature. A couple of the things we're doing with it. One is I'm transcribing all the stuff I make for Mac Sparky Lab. So when I'm thinking about new content, I can search Notion to see what I've done on it before. I can also ask it to take a look at my outline and tell me if it thinks I missed something. It really is useful on our little team. So try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/automators. That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/automators, to try the powerful, easy-to-use Notion AI today. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show. notion.com/automators, once again, go check it out and improve your team workflows today. Since we mentioned Moom, I feel like we should also spend a little time talking about the alternatives. The big new one is Sequoia Window Management. Apple added proper window management in Sequoia, which is now available for you to download on your Mac. Overall, I want to give this 2 thumbs up. I think they did a good job. You know, the basics of getting the window on the left side or the right side or the quarters, They even did a feature where you can have two windows open and swap them. And I've never seen that in any window manager, including Moom, where you can say, take the thing on the right and put it on the left and vice versa. That's cool. And they have built-in keyboard shortcuts. They've got it in the menu system under the window tab. They've got it, you know, under the green button too. So there's just, I think, a pretty good job of Apple. Oh, they also have the thing where you can drag it to the corners if you want. If you hold down the option key, you can put it to pre-designated spaces. I think for a lot of people who are not power users, the new implementation is probably enough.
Yes. Yeah, I think it really is. And, you know, for people like my mom and so on who occasionally might want a little bit more, you know, that this is basically what she's going to need. Because most of the time, you know, that she just wants stick it over here, stick it over there. And without having to you know, drag the side of the window to try and get things to line up. And for that, it seems pretty great. And there's also the shortcuts actions for finding windows, where you've got filtering by app name, visible or invisible, width, window index, name, etc. And then you can resize a window or move a window. So you've got resizing it to fit the screen or to, you know, particular sizes, such as your top half, bottom half, left half, right half, and so on, or specific dimensions. And, you know, that's pretty cool. You can't really trigger it from, you know, the magnification button or anything, which means that it's kind of really more for setups. So if you've been doing setups using shortcuts where it opens certain applications or files, then, you know, this could be a good extension to that. But it's, you know, for me, it's unfortunately lacking a little bit because it doesn't necessarily do things like handle my other windows for me. It just kind of leaves them in places, which is not necessarily exactly what I want.
Yeah, another shortcoming for me is the keyboard shortcuts aren't customizable via the system. You can do it if you go use the trick where you go into Control Center and you write a new menu-based keyboard shortcut. But I feel like that's pretty, it should have been, they should have had their own like setting in there like they do for screenshots and other things. And for me, that where I saw that was using my extended Apple keyboard. The globe key and the control key aren't next to each other, which makes the built-in keyboard shortcuts almost unusable. And, you know, it's just not, it's not as big as something like Moom, but not everybody wants an Apple script that's going to fire a pre-designated window setup. You know, it's good for what it is.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's actually, to give Apple credit, there's a whole bunch of documentation on their website as to how to use all of this stuff. Which is pretty nice. They still have Stage Manager. That is something that I keep trying on macOS for a little bit, and then it starts annoying me, and I give up on it really rapidly. But yeah, there's options. So I've linked the docs on tiling windows, changing your window tiling settings, and Mac window tiling icons and keyboard shortcuts. So those are all going to be in the show notes for everybody.
What about Stage Manager gets you, you know, when you do those tests? What is it ultimately that chases you away?
It feels like it doesn't really understand that, like, 95 to 99% of the time, if I want a new window of an application or I want a new application, I want it where I am. I don't want it in a new space where I then have to go into the space where it previously was and drag it in. And that just drives me away really, really rapidly. And also, it just feels like it's taking up space on macOS in a way, because it's very much designed for kind of like either you're going full screen or you're doing like bitty stuff. And I just need my whole monitor. You know, I need all the space on the left and the right, and dragging stuff in doesn't work very well because especially when I am working on my laptop monitor is docked to the left of my Mac, which means the Stage Manager doesn't quite work on the internal display because you have to kind of like go through that to get to the next monitor and so on. It doesn't feel like it's designed for power users in a way that makes sense for me.
Yeah.
That said, I do use it on the iPad and I do like it on the iPad, but it's different on the iPad because it's also one device with one monitor and in my case, an 11-inch display. So, you know, it's a bit different.
Yeah, it feels to me like it's not intuitive enough, if that makes sense. You know, yeah. It's like things often have like, they don't work the same that I expected. And like combining windows on the desktop feels like things happen that I don't expect. I just don't think it's really a power user feature. And I would like it to work because I kind of like it. I've got a big giant screen. I do have the real estate to spare, but I just can't get it to work right. Maybe I'm going to try again using Moom and try and get Moom setups to work. So if I can maybe use that in combination with the, you know, the pop-up button in Moom, maybe I can make it work. But I honestly, like you.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that I also found is like it doesn't work with things like Moom, or at least it didn't previously. Maybe the new version of Moom is better at handling Sage Manager. But for me, it was just one of those things where it's like, no, like I know where I want my windows and I want to put them over here and I want to put them over there. And then Sage Manager is like, oh, you're trying to move this to a new space. It's like, no, I'm not. I just want to stick my window right there. Like, shoo, out the way. So, yeah, I don't know. Hopefully Moom can handle Stage Manager. I will have a look in their docs and see if it does.
All right. Some of the other apps, though, we were going to talk about, in addition to Windows, there's a whole host of them. Keyboard Maestro is great for it. That was kind of the original app I used to arrange windows before Moom existed. You can do it. You can do it very granularly, and it gives you control of each window. It gives you multi-monitor control. It has all the stuff that you need to do this, although I find it more fiddly than Moom. But if you already have Keyboard Maestro and don't want to spend $10, you can absolutely make it work with Keyboard Maestro.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, it's pretty good. You know, it works. And that's, I think, the thing that always is important, right? You know, if you find a solution and it works for you and you're happy with it, that's great. Personally, it's one of those things where sometimes I lean heavily on the consolidate. Like I want as few applications as possible to do things. But also I do greatly believe in the right tool for the right job.
Yeah.
If you can get, the great electric screwdriver and you've got a whole bunch of stuff that you're going to need a screwdriver for, it's worth having a good electric screwdriver for it. If you need to assemble one very small piece of IKEA furniture, a hand screwdriver is just fine. So, you know, I think it's just one of those things where, you know, you have to figure out, are you doing, you know, the minimum, like, tiniest piece of IKEA furniture assembly where you don't really even need a screwdriver, probably just the Allen key that they provide you with? Or, you know, do you actually need the electric screwdriver? What is it that you're doing? And also, you know, don't forget, most of these apps have got free trials, which means that you can download them, try them out for free, and give it a go. You know, Moom has a great free trial as well. So it's worth giving it a go to see if it works for you and the way that your brain works.
Just a couple other apps. Raycast, the keyboard launcher. I think they have excellent window support. Mm-hmm. Better Touch Tool / Better Snap Tool. We've talked about in the past, you can do this with Shortcuts. Shortcuts is not even as powerful as the built-in one, though. Although it does allow you to automate the process. There's a lot of tools for this. I mean, if you went in the App Store, you'd probably find 50. But Moom is the one that always pulls up my heartstrings.
Yeah, it does for me too. And there's just something about it. It just feels nice to use. And that is something that cannot be said for every application. So, yeah, it's a nice tool for a nice job. And it works really well for me.
Yeah, congratulations to Minitrix on impressing us again and reaffirming our automator endorsement of this great window management tool. Switching gears, Rose, another thing that came out since we've had the release of these operating systems is the Control Center. We talked about this after WWDC, but now it's in the wild and, you know, the third-party application units are starting to show up. Like we just got one for Dark Noise, and there's a couple other apps that are showing up. What do you think of Control Center now that you can fully customize it, and what are you doing with it?
Well, so I am still running the beta. I'm running, the beta with Apple Intelligence and so on. So I will take a note, or I will make a note that, you know, I do have that additional complication in there, perhaps. But I have found that Control Center seems to occasionally change / reset the layout. And I don't quite understand how. or why. And I noticed in the latest beta that the radios page, and I thought it was just doing something where to kind of like reset things. But the radios page now has airplane mode as like a long skinny rectangle, and then four squares for Wi-Fi, AirDrop, cellular data, Bluetooth, and then the other three at the bottom are rectangles again, instead of it just being like a list, which it was. And that's kind of broken my muscle memory a bit. But other than the occasional, it glitches out for a little bit and everything kind of like just shows like, this is a home action. We will show you the home actions later. I found it to be really good. I like the fact that you can customize it completely. I don't tend to use the music page all that much, but I have added my own home controls page, which I use all the time. And I really love that. And I added an extra page as well, which has got things that I don't need super often in, but I use them every once in a while, like opening Print Center and things like that, which is pretty cool. What about you?
Yeah, it's a little wonky in the beta, but like you, I'm in the kind of at the hairy edge of the beta, but I think it's great. We talked about this on Mac Power Users, so I won't restate a whole bunch of it, but I have a full screen of home, you know, home control stuff. So like all the lights and locks and everything are their own screen. And I have recreated the default screen to just the stuff that I want. And now I'm working on the third screen and just trying to figure out the best way to navigate between them. I think I'm still not fully settled on what my strategy is for it, but I do find that just swiping into Control Center to do things like start dark noise versus put it on a widget on the home screen make more sense with my brain. And I am all for that. So I'm really enjoying it.
Yes. Yeah, me too. And I'm really appreciating the fact that so many app developers have added actions as well, like, you know, drafts. I have the ability to add a new draft and a new draft with a clipboard in my Control Center now. And that's just something that's like, it's on the first page of the Control Center for me. It's just there. So if I swipe into Control Center, you know, as I often do to just be like, okay, I started a thing, I need to do a thing. It's like, oh, well, I can just paste into drafts. Simple, you know, if I've copied something, which is just very nice.
Yeah, exactly. So it kind of resets what your default Control Center is for the stuff that you do. And then you can put the other stuff like setting an alarm or whatever on an additional screen if you rarely do it, but you do want to have the ability to set it via Control Center. And that's what I'm still trying to figure out, is what makes the cut. And it doesn't help that every time I go in there, there's another third party app that I love that has new actions. So that like makes me rethink it. I do think organizing it is not easy. I wish they could have done a better job to make it easy to drag between screens and whatnot, but it's all good. It's a start.
Yes. Yeah. The one feature that I feel is really missing is like, if I go into edit mode and I tap on a blank spot, like I would tap on a blank spot and I kind of expect to just be able to like select the thing that I want and put it. And like from the blank spot, I have to tap at the almost invisible, if I'm on, coming from a white background, thing at the bottom, which is add a control. And then, and then at that point, I can go through and add a control. But I have to say the thing that's been really handy for me is customizing my home screen actions, because the home screen actions can also be customized now with the same Control Center actions that are available. So this means that you can then change, you know, the torch, flashlight and camera buttons on your lock screen to be different things, which for my grandmother, because she keeps accidentally turning on the torch on her phone and she doesn't understand why or how, we've replaced it with the camera button again, so that she ends up with two camera buttons on her home, on her lock screen. Because she also, I think that was the other thing, sometimes she didn't know which one was which, so she'd turn on the torch and then go into the camera, and then yeah, it would get very confusing and she'd panic. So I will, I've changed that for her. And I think that's, you know, just something that's nice that you can do for folks. A number of times I've seen people walking around with the flashlight on their phone. And I think a lot of people are completely oblivious based on the number of people that I've said, like, did you know the flashlight's on? Oh gosh, no, I didn't. Thanks. You know, that's the usual reaction that I get. So it's nice to be able to change those out. And then you can put shortcuts in there too.
Yeah, you just see like a little white dot in their pocket, right? The flashlight's on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like glowing through the denim.
Here's something to think about, gang. Use this in combination with focus mode. So like when I'm in the Disneyland focus mode, I took the camera off because now I have a new phone with a button that can push to trigger the camera. So I put the Disneyland app on the home screen widget, and because you can have it launch an app. It's one of the shortcuts actions. And because when you're at Disneyland, you need to get to the app to get your ticket, to get your photo pass, all that stuff. Now I can do it right from my home screen. And I'm just like, again, thinking through with my various focus modes, what should those, you know, what are the buttons I want there? And it's rarely camera and flashlight. So that gives me a new opportunity. And I just want to call out as one last point, just I think there's a big payoff happening with the widget system and the control center button system. All these things are kind of working together. And Apple started this, 3-4 years ago? But now you're seeing the payoff of all of this, you know, between SwiftUI and this kind of universal widget system. It's just showing up everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And that is something that is really nice. You know, I've spoken to a couple of different app developers and played with it myself. And the fact that, you know, the app intents things, you know, they were, you know, the latest version of how you integrate with shortcuts, but adding those to control center actions and so on. You know, I'm not going to say it's as easy as 1, 2, 3, but it's certainly nicer to be able to use the app intents that you've already created for shortcuts instead of having to create something brand new. And the fact that, you know, it does all work together means hopefully we're going to see more shortcuts actions from other app developers who don't really necessarily think about shortcuts in the same way that you and I do. Because, you know, they're just there. You know, they have to create the app intent so that they can put it in the control center thing. And therefore, it just kind of magically appears.
All right. Well, there's a nice little update. Check out Moom Gang. The new version is very excellent for automators. But we also talked about some other window management tools. And let us know what you're doing with your control center. You can do that over at talk.automators.fm. We are the automators. You can find us at relay.fm/automators. If you are a Automators Max member, stick around. We're going to talk about keyboard woes. That's the extended ad-free version of the show. And thanks again. See you next time.
Goodbye, folks.